Yeah, but specifically, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the day that they ate thereof, I don't want to take away Joel, but the day that they ate the fruit, why did God didn't come in, and why were they not struck dead?
Well, they were spiritually dead, weren't they?
Thank you.
The separation from God that occurred after they had sinned was their spiritual death at that point, in that very day.
Thank you. That's what we're looking for. See, what has happened is sin has come in, and that has separated from God. God didn't come anymore into the garden and commune with them. That was separated, and that is spiritual death had come in. And so the day that they did eat, they did die spiritually.
So 2 points we have established, because we need to move now. The first one, that is in Adam. We are all, you might say, I wasn't in a garden. You were. You were in Adam. Every human that is born on this earth, till the Lord comes, till the Lord reigns, till the end of the world, was in Adam, responsible. Very simple. You see these outlines here? See this pen? I'm going to put this pen in here, in this outline. If I drop this in a bucket of water, what happened to the little pencil in there? He gets wet too. We were all in Adam. And if you need a little bit explanation on that, there's no time for it now. See me after. I'll explain it to you from the scripture, from the book of Hebrews, that we were all there. You see why I wear glasses? I didn't do anything bad. I'm short-sighted. But I didn't really do anything bad. But my father wore glasses. And so is apparently my grandfather and my great-great-great-grandfather. If he didn't have glasses, he was short-sighted. I inherited that. I didn't do anything bad. Trust me, I was really good. But I'm short-sighted. Because I inherited that. So it's the same thing. We were all in Adam. We were all in Adam. Death, why we die? Because Adam sinned. And we were all in Adam. And if you don't believe the scripture, when you drive on the highway, look at the graveyards. Death came as a result of sin. That's the first point that we need to take a hold of. Number two, the matter of death. When somebody dies, what happened? Spirit separated from the body. It's a matter of separation. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. And Adam's seeds, they were separated from God. They were separated from God. And that's the condition of every sinner. They are separated from God. So there's a problem here. What happened to God's plan now? We're going to stop? It's not working? God is going to say, oh no, now it's messed up. What am I going to do now? Not at all. You know, I think it's just so wonderful to think of the blessed God sitting on his throne in complete calmness. Everything is just working. All of the pieces of the puzzle are just being put together nicely. Satan thinking, oh yeah, I got him now. And God had a man. The first man had failed, messed up completely. Then the voice in Isaiah that we have heard. Whom shall I send? I need a man. I need a man that will show what man ought to be. And the voice of the Lord Jesus said, here I am. Send me.
Let's also point out that the importance that without the remission of blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Even in the first occasion of sin, there was shedding of blood, and that's a principle that will go forth throughout, you know, the Bible. So
our redemption is costly. Oh, how we need to see that. In one sense, people say it's free. We understand what they mean. But oh, let me ever remember that our redemption is costly. It costs the Lord Jesus his life. So I want, and one of the reasons that I went back and picked these verses up from the book of Isaiah was from the question that came out yesterday. And this is the value of questions. This is why we need, and I'm not saying you need, this is why we need to be taught from the Word of God. The question was in reference to the Lord, was he a man in eternity past? And this is why, look at this promise. Emil has, first of all, set before us the verse that we read, whom shall I go and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. I know this in interpretation, first of all, is a reference to Isaiah himself. We want to see that, but we want to be able to look beyond that and see and hear our blessed Lord, who was eternally the Son, okay? He was always the Son, but he was not always a man. The eternal Son came into manhood. This is what we're seeing here. And we can hear, and I think it's wonderful to think of the one, if you remember the video you saw the other evening, of the one that spoke this universe into existence. How marvelous. The one that is all powerful. The one that in the language of Hebrews upholds all things by the word of his power. This is what he said. Who will go for us? Here am I. Send me. And he took. He who was equal, we had last night in the meeting, took that place. That was in the Young Marrieds. I've got my meetings mixed up. He took that place of submission. And he came as a blessed, lowly man into this universe. He didn't come as a king. He didn't come with great armies. We'll cover that. But he came as a child to Bethlehem's, as a babe to Bethlehem's manger. I know we're not surprised that there wasn't any room for him, because Nemal has brought before us who the God of this age is. But let's read this verse in Isaiah 7, along with the verse in Isaiah 9, and have just a few comments from some, and maybe questions. Now, we realize that we live in a world where people say this couldn't happen. This can't happen because man looks at it and he can't figure it out in his own mind. And so he takes the easy route out and he says, that's impossible. Well, you know, it is impossible. We want to realize that when we come to the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus, as far as man is concerned, it is absolutely impossible that such a thing should happen. Listen to what the Lord says. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear, I was looking at the marginal reading, bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, I know that we all here know, or I'm assuming that we all would know, that Emmanuel means God with us. What wonder that he who is and was the creator came down into manhood. Sin apart. Oh, we'll come to that. We want to emphasize that. Sin apart. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. You see, that's exactly where Adam fell. He went just the other way. But with this blessed one, there was not any fallen nature. There was nothing in him to respond to the call of Satan, you see. And I'll read the other one and give others chance to talk. For unto us, and we emphasized this yesterday, if you haven't got this verse marked in your Bible, and you don't mind marking in your Bible, it's a good one to see. It doesn't say unto us a son is born, okay? It is a child. A child is born. But look at the next part. A son is given. A son is given. And look at this. And you think of the babe that we'll come to in Luke in a while. Think of him. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Look at this. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Out of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. Ah, this is nice, isn't it? What's going to happen? He hasn't been set aside. Our God hasn't been sidetracked. His purposes haven't been hijacked. His purposes center in his son. What does it say he will do? He will perform this, you see. So maybe others have some comments or some questions on these verses.